The following day, went and bought a more advanced one and peed on it there and there, as in I couldn't wait. Straight positive, I'm like, wait, no, today I'm not going home until I go to the clinic. So I went with my person X to go and do the pregnancy test in a hospital. They did an ultrasound and voila, madame is pregnant. Not with one, but two babies. Yes, I had twins.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this fine podcast, the podcast that is focused on your self-development and growth. My name is Kevin Minor, and I'm so excited to bring you yet another episode that I hope and pray for sure will change your life or just enhance it, right? Either way, I am good. Allow me to first of all thank you for being such an amazing, amazing audience. So right now we are powered by Will King's Studios, which is Kenya's number one management and distribution podcast company, which is of course based in Kenya but works all around, let me tell you. And so I'm excited for that, and it's all because of you for always coming here, you know, just listening to the podcast, you know, leaving your reviews, you know, taking those screenshots and tagging me at Kevin's Pod, always engaging, always sharing. And I'm urging you truly, as a loyal listener, as an ardent listener of this podcast, kindly don't shy away to share this podcast. Don't shy away to tell people to come on and listen, to even send your friend that link. And I'm hoping so that they can also get the nuggets that you're getting, so that they can listen to the stories that you get to receive. And so I am grateful, truly grateful. Words cannot sum up how grateful I am. I can only tell you that I'm grateful, and hopefully that you'll trust me. Usianze kusema unasema tu juu ni protocol. Nah. Trust me, I am grateful. This episode is yet another guest episode. So we have been having, nimewapea tu ma guest, and that's what this podcast is all about. So we have like book reviews, 4 episodes of book reviews, and then we have 4 episodes of guests. I've just been doing that. It's random. It can always change. I just find it so organized that I have intermittent, you know, series going on, right? So this episode is yet again, like I said, a guest episode. And my guest today, her name is Velma Muikali, right? So Velma, who is she, right? Velma is many things, but most of all, she is an old friend of mine. So Velma and I were in high school together. And I remember for the first few years of high school, I think we were more than just buddies. If you're in high school, you know what I mean. But that's not the story for today. So we were high school mates for the 4 years that we were in high school. Things change. Went through different parts of our lives. And then later on, we caught up with each other. So this is how actually this episode has come to fruition. So let me just explain it. So around sometime last year, I was in campus, you know, it was at night, getting ready to go to bed. And then I get a phone call. Boom, it's Velma, right? So I'm like, oh, hey, old friend. And then she hits me right away. So I got pregnant, right? And my first thinking is like, okay, fine. I thought, for me, the way I planned out my life, you know, I was thinking the person who will be telling me she's pregnant would be someone I've spent time with, you know, I've gotten to know better. So, of course, on a light note, but, you know, she explained to me the story and I got so interested that I was scared of asking her to come here and talk about the story, but eventually I knew I would talk to her into it. And she was so enthusiastic. She was so, you know, eager to share her story because, you know, once you're in a position where you feel like you're sharing, you want to share your story, it means you're already of service to this earth and you're an amazing person who needs to be listened to. So disclaimer, before you go into the story, come uko 18 and below, kindly, this is one of those episodes that I have to put an R rated, right? So come uko 18, tafadhali kuwa hapa na mzazi kwa sababu this story is a bit intricate. So some of the details might be a bit disturbing to some listeners, but all in all, I guarantee that by the time you finish listening to this episode, you will have, you know, gotten so many insights. You will have learned a lot about, you know, being courageous, being nini, and I don't want to preempt. So without much further ado, Velma Muikali, everyone.
Kevin's guest.
It was around 2018, after high school, I became a kapati freak. Yes, I had a boyfriend who I had been dating for quite some time. So obviously, you know,
teenage fun, partying, drinking, all that, engaging in other activities obviously was included. And at that time, I was at a point in life where I was really trying to figure out who I really am. And I guess that's why I was really exposing myself to such behavior. So it is at this point when I actually got pregnant without knowing. Mind you, I was 18. I normally have a crazy menstrual cycle. It's never regular. You know, I can have it for 2 weeks, then it chills for like 1.5 months, then it comes back for a whole week. That's how it used to be. So it used to be so hard. It used to be so, so hard to keep track of when I'm going to have my period. So yeah, it is fun I am having. It is that period of September, October, November. December is my birthday. Birthday girl must drink. Birthday girl must enjoy. And birthday girl did that. Mind you, birthday girl is pregnant and she doesn't know. You know how it is when you're pregnant and you're having drinks? It is not healthy for the babies. I was drinking and I didn't know I'm pregnant. But as the saying goes, what you don't know can't hurt you. And it didn't hurt me. Anyway, this is December. It is my birthday. I'm having fun. Normal routine. January 2019, imefika. Last time I experienced my periods was in beginning of November. The whole of December, I didn't even realize I didn't have my periods because of my lifestyle. Well, I was happy my period didn't come for quite some time because when it comes, it is a disaster. Puking, falling ill, turning pale, you just feel sick. I feel sick. I was happy. Wow, this time imechelewa. I was realizing that in like mid-January. Then I was like, wait, girl, you need to try tracking. When was the last time you had your periods? Because it doesn't pass, it doesn't go more than 2 months without coming. Then I was like, wait, what? When was the last time I had my periods? Then I remembered, oh, it was this and this time. I'm like, hey, wow, okay. Following day, I woke up. I didn't want to share it with my boyfriend yet because he's those softy guys. You know, some information to him, it's such a big deal. So I said, tomorrow, see, I'm going to school early in the morning. I'm going to wake up, pee in a cup, leave it somewhere. I left it under my bed. When I was on my way to school, I bought 2 pregnancy test strips. They're called PT strips anyway. So I bought 2 of them, went to school. Trust me, I couldn't even concentrate in class on that day. I had like 2 classes and a cut. Your cut at a surgery. I just did it because at that time, I am just thinking, well, wow. Are these really my periods misbehaving or am I actually pregnant? Because when I come to think of it, I had a serious, it was a serious thing during the 2019 period. If you know what I mean, it was a serious deal. So yeah, I was like, well, maybe I am pregnant. So we left class, came back home very fast. Iyo siku acha siku taka kuenda happy. Just came home straight, took a cup, took 1 PT strip, nikara saw my instructions very well so that I don't blunder. Put it in the pickup right away. I think it's normally written wait for 30 seconds or a minute to see the results. Mine didn't wait. Straight, 2 lines. Went back to the packaging and read 2 lines. 2 lines means that it is positive. It means that you're pregnant. I'm like, wait, no. Maybe this pee, imeka sana. I can't use it. Or maybe this pregnancy strip is not, it's not accurate. Like it has errors. Let me use this other one. So I actually peed there and there on the second one. Straight away. 2 lines. I'm like, wait, no, what? I told my sister. My sister was the first person I told. And she's like, we're a chamchezo. You're always pranking us, you're pregnant. So what's the difference? She thought I was joking. But then I had a friend. I told her, person X, that, yo, I think I'm pregnant.
She was shocked. She's like, eh, have you told your boyfriend? I'm like, no. But okay, let me just tell him. Because tomorrow, now the following day, I was planning to go get the more advanced pregnancy strip. The one that is big, that kind of looks like a thermometer. The clinical ones. So I said, okay, then let me just tell him right now and send him photos of the PT strips. And then maybe tomorrow when I'm going to check on myself, I'll go with him. So I called him and I told him, yo, babe, I think I'm pregnant. I took photos of those two PT strips. I really explained, into detail everything that I did and that there are very high chances that I am actually pregnant. Then he's like, ah, babe, ini kawaida yako tu. I used to prank him every time. Babe, I'm pregnant. Babe, I'm pregnant. You see, because of my funny cycle. So he thought this is just yet another joke. The following day, went and bought a more advanced one and peed on it there and there, as in I couldn't wait. Straight positive, I'm like, wait, no, today I'm not going home until I go to the clinic. So I went with my person X to go and do the pregnancy test in a hospital. They did an ultrasound and voila, madam is pregnant. Not with one, but two babies. Yes, I had twins. And this guy was actually drunk. I went to some hospital in Donholm. Had to pay cash. Do you want to use my medical card? I don't know. I was just scared. I'm like, wait. And if my mom asks, why did I go to hospital? When she goes through the insurance things, and then she sees I was trying to, I was just confused. Yeah, I was having some crazy ideas, which actually didn't make sense. So this guy, I'm like, hey, is this guy going to look at me and really give me the real result that I'm looking for? But anyway, I did it. He did an ultrasound for me. He's like, do you have a history of twins in your house? Nikacheka. He's like, this is not a laughing matter. I can see two sacks. Like, oh, wow. Anyway, how old is the pregnancy? 7 weeks. For the past 7 weeks, I was drinking. I was drinking vibaya sana. I'm like, okay, wow. Is there a way you can give me photos of the ultrasound in a report? He said, yes, you can. But before that, my friend took a photo of the screen that you normally see your inside there when you're doing the ultrasound. So she took a photo. She sent me and I sent it to my boyfriend. My boyfriend was like, "Ay, babe, I prank yako leo, it is going too far. You even go to an extent of getting a fake ultrasound or you googled this photo." I'm like, no, babe. I'm in a clinic right now and this is what I am seeing. It's like, wow, okay, we will talk. Okay, we'll talk. I was so confused, yet I was happy. I was happy because I am pregnant with twins. Funny, right? Yes, but I was happy because due to some circumstances that, it's going to be another story for another day. My health, me actually getting pregnant, it's actually a blessing. I didn't know I can get pregnant. Not because I was using prevention, I was using protection or anything, but it's because of some complications I have. I was happy I am pregnant and I was happy I'm having twins. But at the same time, I was scared. Yo, I have just joined campus. I need to study. Then I am seeing that I'm pregnant. Everything is going to come to a stop. But anyway, yeah, I'm pregnant. Came home and this so-called friend of mine was like, yo, you can't tell my mom. You can't tell your folks. This thing, there's no way you're keeping. Better abort it. I had pressure of aborting. Better abort it. I was, I could get the pill so easily. It was so, the pressure was so real that I was in a dilemma. Here, my boyfriend, by the way, he was so scared because of his parents. His parents are not like mine. Alisema, yo, there's no way my dad is finding out about this, babe, but you really need to get rid of that pregnancy. I'm like, no. My friend is also telling me the same. I told my sister. My sister was like, I won't tell you what to do. If you keep it and you suffer the end, don't blame me. If you abort and suffer the end, I don't want to be blamed. So please, make the decision for yourself. I have two big brothers.
they both told me, usifanye kitu ya ujinga. Kitu ya ujinga means aborting. Don't try doing anything stupid. You're pregnant. Well, it is fine. We will try sorting it out. It's like, okay. I said, because this pressure is really, really bad. And I may just end up doing something stupid. Let me just go tell my mom. I went to the ultrasound results. The same evening I left the clinic. Give my mom. We were outside the house. And I told her, Mom, I'm pregnant. And it is with twins. She hugged me. My mom hugged me. She's like, Mama, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you that you didn't give in to these crazy girl ideas that you feel that your age mates normally have outside here. I'm proud of you didn't think of aborting. I'm like, well, I didn't think of it, but I had the pressure of doing it. Then she asked me who's the dad. Good thing she's met my boyfriend severally, so she was like, this guy is a nice guy. Have you told him? I'm like, yeah, I've told him. How did he take it? Obviously, he's scared. He's like, okay, I'm sure you'll make it through this. So it is this period of confusion. What will other people think about me? What will I do? How will I fund for my babies? Mind you, they're twins. I've never had a kid, but from what I hear, raising kids is not a joke. Kwanza with this economy of ours. So yeah. Either way, my boyfriend went and told his parents. They didn't receive it well, but at the end of the day, at least, I am proud of him. He accepted it. And now it is for us to look at the future. Now that I know I am pregnant, then that's when my body started behaving like I'm pregnant. Morning sickness, mine was, wow, it was bad. I couldn't eat anything without throwing up. Now, these are 2 months. I'm 2 months pregnant. I've never gone to the clinic. I've been drinking badly. But once I found out I was pregnant, I stopped drinking. I've been puking. I've been sleeping the whole day. I was sleeping the whole day. 2 mood swings, all that. Then I was like, hey, I knew I'm pregnant. I wish I didn't find out early. Because all that I found out, I'm starting to behave like this. So my boyfriend was like, babe, I think we should go to the clinic. We get checked, you get checked to see how the babies are. In his mind, he was still having doubts if I'm pregnant. So he also said, this is an opportunity also for me to see firsthand that you're pregnant. And I was like, okay, babe, we can go. Went to the clinic, I was checked. The babies were well, they were perfect, they were okay. And I was given no medication, the supplements. Not, as in, at least I was even given medicine for not puking. I continued with my supplements for some time. I continued going to school, but it was really, really hard for me to be in school and I'm pregnant because my pregnancy was so complicated. I used to have abdominal pains, which was scary. You're not supposed to have them, not unless something bad is happening. Furthermore, I used to sleep a lot. I used to feel tired. Concentration was so hard. Even with my medication to avoid puking, even with them, I was still puking. It wasn't okay. And I just couldn't continue with school, even homeschooling. So I had to end my education there. I'm home. We're preparing for the babies, going for clinic oftenly. My tummy is really, really growing. Going for shopping for the babies. Everything was perfect until some day. I was just at home. I wasn't feeling well. I was just feeling awkward. When I was home, I had sweatpants. I was seeing my pants were kind of getting wet. Then I'm like, wait, it's because this pregnancy, I'm 7 months pregnant. It's just too heavy for my bladder. So I'm just leaking pee, you know. I'm still an amateur. It was happening so often, even after I pee. But I didn't think of maybe I'm leaking. So, yeah, I call my mom, telling her what's happening. She's like, you maybe you didn't bangula yourself after peeing, yeah? I'm like, okay, sawa. I relax in the house. Tumbo inaniuma. I tell my boyfriend, he's like, babe, just tomorrow we'll go, you get checked. I'm like, okay, we'll go get checked. My mom comes home at night at like 10 p.m. Then she looks at me. She's like, wait, how many months are you? I'm like, 7 months. She told me, I'm giving you an hour. Go to the toilet, pee, relax somewhere, then you come. I see.
something told me, hey, madam, you just go prepare yourself, shaving, nini, all that, just in case you're actually giving birth. That's what I did. After some time, when I stood up, now the water started, you know, flowing down. Ile serious. My mom was like, nah, madam, we're going to hospital. It was at 11 p.m. I live in Athi River. I can't go to any hospital around Athi River. I have to go to Nairobi to at least a hospital that if maybe I'm giving birth, they'll be able to handle the kids or handle me with care or at least know what to do. We drove to Nairobi, reached hospital at 12 at midnight. Yeah. Went to be assessed. I'm like, the nurse was like, madam, you're 3 centimeters open. Okay, when you're going to deliver, you're supposed to reach 9 or 8 centimeters, but I was 3 centimeters open. I am 7 months pregnant with twins. Well, I was getting premature kids. Talked to my gyno was like, hey, madam, this is a serious case. You're having preemies. These preemies, they're too young. I hadn't gotten a jab for their lungs. When you're having premature kids, or rather when you're almost giving birth and there are chances that you're going to get premature babies, you're supposed to be given a jab for strengthening their lungs. So by the time you're giving birth, at least they're able to breathe on their own, because the lungs are the last organs for the babies that develop. So I hadn't received that. I was 7 months pregnant, the early stage. So she's like, you'll have to just stay in hospital. We'll try giving you that mini dawa for at least the babies to be okay, to stabilize their lungs. Then you'll go in for a C-section. I wasn't prepared for a cesarean. I wasn't mentally prepared for it. But by the looks of it, it looked like I'm going to have a very, very rough, very rough time. So Google became my friend. You know, they are so anxious and worried, you decide to Google some things. And you know the way Google makes everything look like you're going to die. So I had that trauma. Now the labor pains started. They were horrible. I couldn't eat. I was puking. Do you want anyone to touch me? Good thing, immediately I told my boyfriend I'm in hospital at midnight. He came. He actually left home and came to be with me in hospital. I know, how sweet. Anyway, he was trying to massage my back, trying to talk to me, you know, trying to hug me, trying to just make me feel okay. Because now the pains were really, really bad. Had to be put on drip. Now I had to stay in hospital. You know, sindano mingi, given medication. I can't eat. I was now feeling just, ah. And then now my spirits were so low. Because Google told me, it is not easy for 7 month premature babies to survive. I'm like, nah, man. I wanted these kids. Either way, when I found out I am pregnant and I didn't plan for them, I still embraced them. I was praying for them. And now, chances are, I won't be with my babies. No, this is not happening. I was so hurt. I was so depressed, as in my... I was not okay. I labored for almost 28 hours. Then I went to theater. Now, we were scared. My boyfriend was like, babe, now if you don't wake up from that bed, if you don't make it, or if our baby's not, don't make it, what next? I'm like, relax. We are going to be fine. I'm sure we are going to be okay. He took me till theater. You know, I told him bye. He's like, don't tell me bye. Bye means you're not coming back. Don't tell me bye. Just tell me, see you soon. Now we are in theater. Worst place ever. That room is cold. Baridi, it's like you're in a fridge. So I was injected on my spine. It's called epidural. That injection is so painful. Yeah, nikalalishwa hapo. Then, chup, at 9:45 p.m, July 6th, my twin one was out, my first baby boy. Teen one is not crying. The epidural allows you to be half awake. So you are actually conscious and you know what is going on. You're literally awake. But you're not feeling any pain.
I see the pediatrician trying to spank him. Baby's not crying. She's shaking him. He's not crying. He's not responding. Now I was tensed. My blood pressure started rising. I was being told, Madam, relax. The baby is okay. Nini. You know, they're trying to make me be okay so that nothing bad happens in the middle of the surgery. I'm like, my baby is not crying. What's wrong with my baby? Like, the baby is fine. You relax. Let us remove the second baby. They tried at least, you know, driving my attention elsewhere, but I was like, wait, my baby's not crying. At 9:50 p.m., twin two is out. He was actually crying. So yeah, I had two baby boys. Twin two is out. He's crying. When he started crying, twin one started crying. Anyway, yeah, my babies were alive. But the lungs weren't strong enough to support themselves, to breathe well, so I just saw them trying to put some oxygen lines for them and all that, wrapping them, washing them, nini. And they were taken upstairs. Kila mtu na mtungi yake ya oxygen. Unfortunately, I couldn't see them for the next 8 hours because I'm supposed to be in the recovery room for 6 hours. Mind you, I didn't have my phone. At that time was when those Kakamega twins were swapped and all that, so I was scared my twins might be taken or might be whatever, and I didn't have my phone there. So that's another fear I was having in the recovery room. I had to ask the nurse for her phone so that I call my boyfriend and ask him, yo, have you seen the babies? How are they? And all that. This guy was asleep. I called him as in 3 hours after the surgery. He's like, wait, what? The kids are already here. Because he was really tired. He's like, I'm like, yeah, go check on them. Went and checked on them. They were in the ICU. But, you know, they were still okay. But still ICU. Mtoto wako ako ICU. You can't even carry them. You can't hold them. It wasn't something easy. After that, started battling how to get my milk. My milk didn't want to come out the first time. But when it came out, whoosh. I was a fresh and cow. But anyway, my babies are in the ICU for a whole week. I didn't carry them. I couldn't touch them. Because, you know, all those tubes, all those wires connected to their chest and all that, it was so delicate for you to handle such a kid. So yeah, I'm having milk, but my babies are not breastfeeding. I had to express a lot of milk, but they're not taking a lot of milk. After that, we had tried battling jaundice. It's a sickness in babies. After that, we're trying to fight for them to at least get some kgs so that I get discharged from hospital. Yes, all that was attained. But then the hospital bill, you know, it was ilikuwa inachezea pumita, you know. High bills. I don't have an insurance to cover that. Everything has to be in cash. As in, it was just a lot. But either way, through God's grace, we made it through. And now we are home. I'm home with my babies. I lived in hospital for a whole month. The whole of July, I was a tenant of the hospital. No living hospital. That environment was just draining. If it is losing weight, I actually lost weight very fast because that environment wasn't pleasing. But at least the mothers who I was with there, they really gave me good support. You know, those are people who have experience. Them talking to me and all that, I saw I am not alone. I can actually make it. But that pain of this years, that wound, trying to walk, had to shower, can't laugh, can't sneeze, can't cough. For those who came to see me in hospital, you know how hard it was. But still, I was thankful. My babies are fine. They're out of danger. I am fine. And I'm going home. Now I am home. Home was another issue. In hospital, the babies were in the newborn unit. So most of the time, the nurses were taking care of them. And I was in the ward trying to recover. But now at home, it is me dealing with the kids alone. There's no nurse there. Babies crying in the middle of the night. They're both of them. You're alone. It was so hard. You're still healing, your wound is still kind of painful. You have to breastfeed both of them at the same time. Hard. It was really hard. Changing their diapers, you are unable to sleep well. You need milk.
you can't eat well because of a lot of work. I was even at times not even having the time to go and shower because moja kilala mwingine anaamka, or both of them are awake at the same time. It was really hard. Good thing my mom took a leave on that during that month, August period, now that I was home. She tried really, she really did her part helping me raise the kids. Now, another challenge. Twin 2 had issues breathing. For some time, he used to just stop breathing out of nowhere. We don't know why, but we take him out, try doing first aid. He starts breathing, and he did that severally. And I took him to hospital, Nairobi Hospital, severally. And they said he is fine. He was being treated for a normal flu. But mind you, my baby is not breathing well. There's a time I got admitted with him. His blood levels were very, very low. He had to go through a transfusion. And he was in ICU, Nairobi Hospital, for 2 days. Because he actually wasn't okay. He couldn't even breastfeed. Mind you, he is just 2 months old. Now, when he's admitted, I also have to be admitted with his brother. You know, we are all now admitted in hospital. Because of one baby, it wasn't easy. So, yeah, he was transfused. He was fine. Then, after some time, there was this day that the father went to check on him. And he found him not breathing totally. He brought for me the baby. He's like, babe, baby's not breathing. I'm like, wow, okay. It was on a Sunday. It's like, hey, let us rush to hospital. Baby is 3 months old. We rush to hospital. They're like, yo, this is an emergency case. We went to the emergency room. They were trying to, you know, normal first aid. The baby's not reacting. Then they're like, yo, this is a serious case. Dungad him adrenaline, baby is not responding. Not once, not twice, not thrice, but I think it was 11 times the adrenaline. He's not responding, but at least he had a heartbeat. So there was hope. Tried looking for veins, nothing, can't find a vein, but at least eventually they found a vein. We're in the ER for almost 4 hours now with the other baby. And the father and I were just alone. So at least they got the blood, went to check. Again, he doesn't have blood. Now you're wondering, why is he losing his blood too? Because he had supplements for blood and all that that I was giving him religiously. So either way, things weren't good. We had to be admitted again. He went back to the ICU. That night, I remember the doctor very well, Dr. Ibrahim for Nairobi Hospital. Kids, he was a pediatrician for the kids in ICU. He's like, I want to be frank with you guys, but this situation, I don't think baby is going to make it till tomorrow morning. Because he is not okay. Baby is not okay. I'm like, wow, okay, this is a big blow. After all I have gone through with him, then I am told baby is not going to make it. Wow. Anyway, I serve a living God. I am prayerful. I will pray and he's going to listen to my prayer. My boyfriend was so pissed. He literally wanted to hit that guy's face. But I was like, babe, this guy is being honest with us. But let us wait and see. So by then, at least family, friends made it to hospital, all that encouragement. Then my pediatrician tells me, we'll have to admit the other baby because of the fear of the unknown. We'll have to run several tests also for him. We see if there's something we're missing, something that we didn't see early. So day one, going back to the ICU, baby is still alive. I met the doctor. I'm telling the doctor, you see, I serve a living God. My baby is alive. He's like, yeah, which is good. But progress, no progress. Baby is not reacting to anything. Baby cannot breathe on his own. He's in the life support machine. Baby's blood pressure cannot move without the help of medicines. Baby's blood sugar is really, really high. He had low blood pressure and high sugar. All that was being regulated by medication. He couldn't breathe on his own. He couldn't be moved on that bed because dare you move that baby? Everything falls.
But still, I was happy he is alive to me. Day one, day two, day three, in ICU, no progress. Now the doctor is telling me we have a situation here. There are no signs of life. Signs of life is, unadungwa na sindano kwa mguu, at least you move. Because you can't talk, you can't, you're not awake. You're just asleep. They're trying to see if they can, you know, pass some light on his eyes to see if he will react. Nothing. So now, tests had to be done. He was done for, I'm forgetting this name, a test to see if there are any waves in his brain. But there was none. So the next test is called calorics. Trying to pass, I think, either cold water or something in between the ears. He's supposed to react by either the eyes bouncing or him just kushtuka. So they did the first test. It was negative. He didn't react to it. That is day 6 or I think day 7. After the first test, you're supposed to wait for 24 hours for the second test to be done. If the second test comes out positive, treatment continues. But if the second test comes out negative, well, it means the baby is dead. So they did the second test. No, actually, we were waiting for 24 hours for the second test to be done. When we were called by the nurse and we were told, baby is not okay. Can you please come back to the ICU to see him? I didn't want to do that. So I sent the father to go and he went with his aunt. Then later on, his aunt came for me in the ward because I was in the ward with this other one, with the first twin. And I asked her, how is he? She didn't talk. Went upstairs to the ICU and wow, baby doesn't have all the wires and all the tubes that he had. What was the first thing I asked? Hiya, he's awake, when I was smiling. Then I looked at my boyfriend. This guy was crying. I was told we're sorry, but baby is no longer with us. Wow, what a blow. I went, tried waking him up. I named him Tariq. Like, Tariq, baby, wake up. Nothing. I'm trying to shake him. Nothing. When I carried him, you know, he's just loose. He's there. My baby was dead. Yeah. I lost my baby on November before he turned 4 months. And he was gone. So now burial arrangements. We went and laid him to rest. So now I have one baby left. It was such a great blow till to date. It's not been something easy to cope with. People talk. They talk a lot of nonsense. Others talk good things, some comforting things, but it still hasn't been easy all through. But I'm still glad I have one left. And at least I got to celebrate his first birthday. Again, July 6th, Tuesday 2. And he is fine. I am glad he's okay. He's meeting his milestones well. And yeah. That is my story. That's the experience I had to go through when I am as young as 20 years old. Yeah, now we are coping well, even with this corona. But yeah, Kevo, that's my story. I hope it's going to be easy for you to edit and it looks so long, but at least I delivered it.
So yeah, I might seem like a lazy editor, but let me just explain the reason why I left that last part where she says that, you know, I hope this is not too much to edit. It just speaks volumes about a person when they are recording their own stories and then they end up even worrying that, you know, their recording's probably not that good enough to be edited, right? But I don't know, maybe that's just personal for me, but it speaks volumes. I hope you've enjoyed that episode. For me, I think, you know, sometimes you might be in your own cocoon or space and you feel like you are going through hardships that are, you know, that are giving you some weird thoughts, suicidal thoughts, until you listen to someone else's story, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, listening to other people's story will help you, you know, deal with anxiety, depression or anything, but I feel it goes a long way to make you even feel I'm not alone. You know, sometimes you feel like, oh, no one is going through the same problem I'm going through. No one can resonate now, until you hear someone else's story. And I'm hoping this platform is doing exactly that. For me, I know of this story. I knew this story even before. Probably not everything, but I knew a major part of the story. And every time, you know, because we've been talking with Velma, so she used to update me on stuff going on. And as I was editing, I remember listening to the story, I'm just being hit with bombs because I'm like, I know this part, but damn, it's amazing. It hits a spot in you, and I'm hoping it did the same with you. So, thank you, Velma, for coming through and sharing your story. It is greatly appreciated. So kindly, do take a screenshot again and share this podcast. Let me know that you're listening. Let Velma know that you heard her story. Tag me at Kevin's Pod, and I will leave Velma's Instagram page on my description after I consult with her, whether it's okay. but do that, tag me. Let me know that you're listening to the podcast kindly. And also tag my managers kindly at Will King's Studios. Tag them, because they also need to know that we're listening to the podcast, that we're enjoying the podcast. Do engage with me through the DMs, through my inbox. Tell me what you thought about it. I will directly forward it to the guest herself. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening to this vlog. Until next time, guys. Bye.